Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everybody, Ethan here from the Lore Boys. We're a comedy podcast that does lore and stuff. Welcome to the show. Today we're talking about the Elder Scrolls. I'm Ethan. Like I said, I'm joined with
Peter O'Donohue
and
James Wildman Miller.
How you guys doing?
We don't call him that. He made it up.
James always giving himself nicknames. Miller.
Dude, you just hang out with me, guys. Party with me once and see a two wild.
Look, it's not good to combine. It's business and pleasure have to stay separate. I don't want to party with you guys at all when we're done work.
Peter, we're still going out after.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Jamie's not editing. He'll never hear this.
Jamie, could you take that out in post? We don't want Jamie hearing it.
Edit out all those times where we're talking behind your back.
Yeah. I'll put that in the tears folder.
It's a big folder. Yeah. 38 gigs.
Big wet folder.
So I'm Ethan.
Oh, Christ.
Hitting shit with the beak of my hat. They call me Beaker.
Yeah. We sure do.
We're talking about the Elder
sure,
Scrolls
we'll
today.
We'll let him make a nickname.
Well, he at least chose one that we use.
I've been Beaker for years, man.
Oh, my God. Back when Ethan and I played football, Beaker was his name.
Oh, yeah,
because he'd always like geek out people so bad.
Yeah.
We just like to put it together. He was the Beaker, man.
Oh yeah,
because it's the bad geeks.
We'd go to the club. Everyone would know me. I'd get to the club and we'd be like, "Yo, Beaker, what's up, dude?"
I don't remember asking for this story.
you got it.
Yeah.
Now you have to remember it forever.
I won't.
Drink it out.
Believe it or not, we are a video game lore podcast. And or nerd lore.
If our football voices misled you somehow, then don't worry. You're in the right place.
We know we're very convincing. We're talking about the Elder Scrolls today because E3 was last weekend.
Yep.
They announced Elder Scrolls 6, which is pretty exciting.
And I don't know about our release schedule, but maybe you have already listened to our E3 episode or it's out soon.
Yeah. It should be out soon.
Yeah. Very fitting for E3, considering some things came out that day, some things came out later, some things aren't out yet. We do a lot of crazy shit. You know what? Maybe what we're going to do is just delay our E3 episode 4 or 5 times and then just cancel the whole fucking thing.
We'll put it out E3 2019.
Yeah.
Or we can just talk about Bethesda, because that's what this is about.
Yeah.
Bethesda.
Yeah. We're talking about the town in Maryland.
So for the three people out there who listen to the show and don't know what The Elder Scrolls is... it's a series of fantasy RPGs set in the world of...
Tamriel.
No.
Oh, Nirn is the planet. Yeah.
Nirn is the planet.
Oh.
Tamriel is the continent, which all the games take place on.
Yes.
There's three other continents. One of them is Akavir.
That's true.
The other two I have written in here somewhere.
I have read several of the books in-game, and then we used to work when I was at Amazon with a dude who... had read everything and committed it all to memory, so like I might geek out real hard during this episode.
Please do.
For the record.
Please do.
And then Jamie will take on the role of dour person who hates what we're talking about, right?
That's pretty much my role everything. Like everyone who knows me, I'm just dour and hate everything.
Yeah, I've never seen him smile. The sides of his eyes are so smooth because he's literally never smiled. Yeah.
James, cranky man, always giving himself nicknames Miller.
James got no crow's feet Miller because he never smiles Miller.
Hey, did you wash your feet before the show?
I didn't actually. My shoes are still on.
We're fucked.
No wonder it feels so off. I don't know.
Yeah, there was like some bad juju in the air.
The five continents of Nirn are Tamriel, which all the games take place on, Akavir, Pyandonia, Atmora, and Yokuda.
I've heard of Atmora, that's true.
Oh,
yeah.
And Aldmeris, apparently. Or Old Elnafe. And I'll get into what the Elnafe are at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
Got a little tidbit.
I'm
ready. Got a couple little tidbits for you.
All right.
So Nirn is considered the material plane, which is a term from Dungeons & Dragons. It's basically where mortals live. It's kind of like the solar system, I guess you could say, would be Nirn. But the planet is also called Nirn.
Yes.
So.
Two moons.
Yeah.
There's two moons. You know what they're called?
Master and Secunda.
Master and Secunda. Yeah. And we'll get into what they are.
Cool. Good.
Them Nirn. Moons. It's just like New York. New York, New York.
Exactly. New York, New York. Exactly.
Yeah. Nirn, Nirn. Nirn. Yeah. Or Mundus is sometimes how it's called.
Oh, Nirn, Big Boy Nirn. Mundus.
Big Boy Mundus.
That's the bad guy in
Batman. Solomon
Amnesia
Mundus.
Two.
Mundus?
Amnesia 2. Mundus.
The machine for pigs?
Machine for pigs. Yes. Yes, as we play on stream.
It was Mandus.
Oh, yeah.
Mandus is from Dark Souls, isn't
Mandus.
It?
Mandus. But Mandus is from Amnesia 2.
Oh. See? We're both
so
wrong.
Mundus is Elder Scrolls.
Yeah.
God.
Talk there about Thanos.
Mundus,
Infinity
Mandus,
War.
Mundus.
Yeah.
There's some debate over how the world was created. There's considerably less so over who created it. An original spirit, or Etana, named Lorkin, either conceived or tricked his siblings into helping him create it.
Oh, Lorkin. Cool.
That's what we're going to call our kids, too.
What's that?
Lorkin.
Lorkin.
Lorkin! Hey!
And that's what we call our listeners, I guess. And say, well, I think we settled on Lorfolk. But
Lorfolk, yeah.
Lorkin works too.
Yeah.
That's the R34 Lore Boys page.
Lorkin, where Lorkin. Like people dress up as us and fuck each other.
And fuck each other.
Yeah. We looked up some R34 before the show. We got to move off of it because we're just going to get into dark, dark places in this game.
Well, we'll know we've made it. Yeah. It's not money that'll tell us that we've made it because we've already made our internet pennies, right? It's, a Wikipedia page, a subreddit, and fan art porn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
I'm keen on the fan art porn.
I want one of those anime ones where we all look super cute and we have sparkles over our eyes
yeah,
when we're kissing.
Exactly. Nice yaoi shit.
I want at least three of those qualities.
Sparkly eyes.
Sparkly
or
eyes.
Kissing. Or manga. Anime. Okay. So, who is Lorkin?
He's the guy who created everything. He made the material plane. As yeah. we know it.
Apparently. I know where his heart is.
He's an Et-Ada. So in the beginning, there was nothingness. Just empty black space called the Void.
How like us. is that Void number 3 now that we're at? Or
at
no,
least.
No, it's 4.
At least.
4 that I can think of.
And it gets better. I mean, well, if you think about it, like in our Earth... Like, we just have, like, oh, it's the Big Bang happened. Before that, who knows? So this is kind of just, like, the who knows.
Right.
Nothingness. And on the first day, there was 4 dialogue options.
So,
This is an old Elder Scrolls game. There's plenty. Don't worry about it. It's way better than Fallout.
Okay.
So, in this void, formed 2 brothers. Anu, considered to be the primordial essence of order, stasis, and light. And his brother, Padme, considered his counterpart.
Padme.
Yeah, Padme, Queen of the Republic.
Yeah.
So what's the first... Wait, the names again are...
Anu.
Anu, who is Order.
Order.
And
Padme, who is Chaos.
Padme is Chaos.
Oh, okay.
Do you guys remember... We did another lore cast.
Yeah, it was Magic.
Where we talked about the Void, and it started with a divine being named Anu. Do you remember which one it was?
Magic.
It wasn't Magic.
It was D&D.
It wasn't D&D. It was Diablo. Diablo lore started with the divine being Anu, who had 2 daughters who became Chaos and Order.
Right.
And they fought and created all things.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I had to go through my Rolodex where all of my contacts are named The Void, and all my other contacts are ancient robots. And
exactly.
What fucking dumb games are.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's so many.
So it actually comes from Anu is the. Also the name of the god of Anu is also the name of the Sky Father, or the supreme god of the Sumerian religion.
Oh,
Sumerian
cool.
religion being like the oldest religion now.
It's like the old Iranians is like
yeah,
what Sumeria
exactly,
was.
Yeah, exactly. It's Mesopotamia.
Speaking of which, I have a super relevant anecdote right now.
Okay.
I went to the 10th anniversary of my favorite bar down the street. And I was there for 1 hour because I was working on the art.
Okay.
So I went in, said hello, had 2 pints and left.
Okay. Can't wait to see how this ties back in.
Just before I left, some guy got thrown out at 7 in the afternoon for screaming at people because he was so wasted. He left. Then I left shortly after. We ended up stuck at the same red light. He turned around and started yelling at us me and Oren, okay. about the Anunnaki, who are the, like, supposed Sumerian alien gods who helped create the pyramids. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
I was not sure where you're going with that one.
Brought it back. Exactly. I got yelled at about ancient aliens 3 days ago. I know all about the Sumerian shit. Oh,
yeah. So these two forces, Anu and Padme, fought, much like Anu's daughters did in Diablo lore, like I said. And from their fighting was
and Jesus and Satan in the Bible lore.
Everything, including their two souls, Anui El and Sithis.
Oh,
which
okay.
is a name from the games.
Sithis is who the Dark Brotherhood worship, right? That's
yeah.
their god?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's basically like the primordial force of chaos.
Right.
And bad things.
Are you getting into... Because gods are known as Aedra, correct?
Gods are known as Aedra or Daedra.
Daedra or demons. That's different. Because the Daedra are different. Confirmed to exist, right?
They're all confirmed to exist. They all come from the same place.
Okay.
That is exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay.
That's what this episode is
okay.
about.
Okay, okay.
So these two were fighting, throughout their fighting, they end up creating their two souls, Anui El and Sithis. As they fought in the void, they also came across another known as Nir, N-I-R.
Oh.
Nir was beautiful, and both brothers loved her. She, however, only loved Anu. She saw him. She's like, "Oh, he's a good guy." You know what? The other one, Padme, he's hot, but Anu's a good guy. He really takes care of me.
There's one who's a good fuck, and there's one who's a good husband.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And she married the husband.
Oh. Chaos is the one that's better in bed.
Yeah.
He's got the wedge-shaped penis, which I think we talked about during our sound test.
And it's great because as all people know, the best sex is the sex where you never know what's going to happen next.
No,
really.
It's the chaos one.
Yeah, exactly. You're just fucking like pulling shit off the shelves. You're like jumping in and out. You're just
the thing that devours everything that it leaves behind.
Yeah. You know, you ever with,
that's what they call me.
You know, you're with someone and you're going to town and you grab their phone and you call their mom and you just hand them the phone. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
man.
That's my kind of
that's
chaos,
that
baby.
Good shit.
Yeah.
letting that sink in a little bit. Wow. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
That'd be weird, eh?
Yeah. It would. Well, yeah. Would be.
Yeah. Was.
So I guess for those three people who don't know much about the Elder Scrolls, who listen to our show, there's a lot of books in the games that you can read, and a lot of the lore comes from those books. So a lot of the lore for this episode comes from one book called the Anuad, or the abridged Anuad, or annotated Anuad, and I have an excerpt here from it. Nir became pregnant, but before she gave birth, Padme returned, professing his love for Nir. She told him that she loved only Anu, and Padme beat her in rage. Anu returned, fought Padme, and cast him outside time. Nir gave birth to creation, but died from her injuries soon after. Anu, grieving, hid himself in the sun and slept. So, jealous brother shows up,
says, holy
fuck. Beats up his girlfriend.
Yeah, I love you. Beats up his brother's wife, who's pregnant with his children, to the point where she's within an inch of her life. She manages to give birth, but then she dies. Brother comes home from the service and sees his brother in his house with his now dead wife and throws him outside of time, gives him the supremest wedgie that just puts him right outside the timeline.
I pictured an RKO.
So Nir was kind of considered to be the gray between their light and dark. She gives birth to what is considered the 12 worlds of creation.
Okay.
Now this... That phrase, 12 worlds of creation, was such a rabbit hole I went down. I am not going to do it justice in this thing because I could literally just talk about theories speculating what the hell the 12 worlds of creation is.
Yeah, I was trying to think if it was like
a day and a half.
Like Mundus and Oblivion, but it's not because there's like 16 Daedric princes who all have their own planes, so it couldn't possibly be that, and all the planes are different.
Yeah.
Fuck.
That's
just something that I know.
It's all messed
because
up.
Because I'm a fucking loser, James. Don't
so there's
like
there's
that.
Some theory.
I literally did not say anything. I'm just looking around trying to like untangle this noodles of words you're throwing around. Like
So
16. It's a number, Jamie.
Yeah, exactly.
This gray person got fucked by the white person and produced basically 12 worlds, and we don't really know what that means. There's a lot of speculation around it. So there's the eight divines from Elder Scrolls.
Yep.
Or the eight original divines, I should say.
The OG.
Our people, our realms, our...
Yeah, so there's a lot of speculation.
Yes, the divines are gods, directly.
Yeah.
Talos being the ninth divine, who was like a hero who was so rad, and they let him be a god.
And there's a lot of speculation on that, too.
Yeah.
So, like, reading into this, it was like, oh, maybe it's the eight gods and the earth bones and... this old Elnafe, who are the 12 worlds of creation or whatever, and then it's like, well, then what about Magnus? You know, like, where does he come in? Where do the other Et'ada come in?
Yeah.
So there's like so much debate over it, and there's so much theory, I guess, that I didn't think it was a worthwhile rabbit hole really getting into. But the most coherent theory is that they were just 12 planets, and we're not going to attribute them names.
Okay. Now.
We're just going to say, like, there was 12 planets there. We know they existed before Nirn. We don't know if they still exist. They might be something more akin to realms, like more akin to solar systems like Nirn.
Like magic, basically?
Yeah, essentially.
This is just like fourth grade, where they're like, oh, yeah, there's just like 9 planets. Don't worry about it. But then you grow up and you realize Pluto's not really a planet.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Like, yeah.
It's just like, you make it easy.
You lied to me, Mrs. Ranalucci.
Yeah.
Oh, you. She's probably dead.
Whoa. Good.
She was old and fat when I knew her.
She lied to you.
In 1998.
So Anu would cast Padme outside the universe, known as Arbus. But
I have a question, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Since he was cast outside of time, does he have anything to do with dragons?
I don't really get into the origin of dragons. I'll drop one tidbit of a theory of a... Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just because I know from Skyrim the dragons are linked directly with the passage of time.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if he had something, but yeah.
So Anu-El, Anu's spirit, is time. When he gave birth to Anu-El and Padme gave birth to Sithis, that was when time was created in the universe.
So he would have to be linked to Alduin, at least tangentially.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, so... Padme gets cast outside of time, but eventually he does return. Anu comes out of the sun to fight him because he's still mad.
That is a very cool sentence that you just said, for the record.
Just comes back inside time.
No, he comes out of the sun to fight him.
Yeah.
Like, oh, hell yeah, dog. That's cool.
So, yeah, after the excerpt that I read, it said, Anu grieving hid himself in the sun and slept. So after his wife died, he's like, fuck this, I'm going to the sun.
The first time he said
I'm going on vacation.
First time he said that, I heard hit. Actually, the second time, too. So I thought he just found his child and, like, hit himself in the sun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Punch himself right in the sun.
Yeah, exactly.
Come here, boy.
Yeah.
Boy. I played too much God of War.
Yeah, exactly. You got sun on the brain.
You've got phantom sun syndrome.
Yeah. So as they fought, blood was spilled. Here's another excerpt from the Anuad. The blood of Padme became the Daedra. The blood of Anu became the stars. The mingled blood of both became the Aedra.
Okay.
Hence their capacity for good and evil and their greater affinity for earthly affairs than the Daedra, who have no connection to creation. Because they're directly descended from Sithis, as opposed to Anu.
Okay.
Well, this is mostly considered poetic because good and evil are gray subjects in the Elder Scrolls, and the Et'ada are considered to have been created out of necessity and not so much out of, like, literal spilled blood.
Yeah.
Kind of like Anu, like or primordial order came into being because order needed to be imposed on the universe for something to exist. So kind of like that, the gods kind of came into being because something needed to be there, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I knew that.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey. Let's see what you're doing.
So, the Et'ada were also called the original spirits.
The Et'ada are the OG spirits. Got it.
OG spirits.
Yeah, got it.
Tupac. Yeah. Biggie.
Lorcan.
Yeah, Lorcan.
Yeah.
Lorcan.
Akatosh.
Akatosh.
Julianos.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Akatosh, Elder Scrolls?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
blessings of Akatosh upon you. He has another name, which is Ariel.
Ariel.
And he...
Oh, I've heard this.
I'm
yeah.
gonna see.
Yeah.
Oh. Ariel.
Hey, Ariel. How you doing? No, so...
out in the sun, they slave away.
Yeah. Ariel, who would come to be known as Akatosh, who in the games is the most powerful... Most powerful of the gods of the realm.
Okay. He's the most powerful of the nine divines, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's the boss of them all.
Yeah.
His true name is Ariel, and he is actually Anu's soul, Anu-El, giving birth. So he's Anu's grandson.
Okay.
Basically.
Can Anu, the art just be a family tree? Just so.
Yeah. We have one guy, Anu. Anu and Padme, sorry. Anu gave birth to Anu-El. Padme gave birth to Sithis.
Sithis, yeah.
I won't go down the Sithis family line because it doesn't matter as much.
Okay.
It's the Daedric princes.
So now we're going back up.
Yeah, we go to Anu, goes to Anu-El.
Well, Anu-El, which is
And then
time.
It goes to Ariel.
And Ariel is Akatosh, who is the lord of
Would
the
become divine. Akatosh. Yeah.
Okay. Basically. Current Zeus, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
He's the god boss.
Yeah. The universe is still like a really chaotic place. There's those 12 worlds that we talked about.
Yeah.
But nothing's really known about them.
Yes.
And in these 12 worlds, like, these gods spring up. And, like, they are gods in the traditional sense. Because even before Nirn, they were creating races. So the Aldmer, or who would become the elves in Elder Scrolls, actually weren't created on Nirn. They were created in Akatosh's realm.
Okay.
Ariel had a realm called...
Is the Aldmer the generic term for all elves? Because then it's like the Dunmer, the Bosmer, and then the Altmer are the high elves, as far as I know.
So the
then Orsimer and...
is the orcs.
And then
the Dwemer are the
dwarves. Dwemer, yeah.
The Altmer have like nose rings and like shitty albums. Jean jackets.
Yeah. And the Kimmer are the dark elves.
No, that's the Doomer. No, excuse me. No, it's the Dunmer are the dark elves. The Kimmer are the snow elves.
Falmer are snow elves.
The Falmer, are they not the mutated ones?
Let me look this up real quick.
Falmer, I know the Falmer
are the gross goblin things, but they were driven underground by the Nords. I know
yeah,
that.
They okay. used to be something else.
Sorry, the Kimmer are the ancestors of the Dunmer.
Okay.
So Dunmer are designed from... Aldmer.
Dunmer are the dark elves.
Yeah. Aldmer are the ancestors of all the elves.
Okay.
So it's not... I think it is used as a general term for all the elves.
Yeah.
But it was also like... Originally, there was just
They're
one...
They're the original Finch that got to the Galapagos Islands. And then these are all Darwin's other Finches,
exactly.
basically.
These are the ones with the curved beaks and the ones with the long beaks.
You got the one that likes to... You got the guys who like to eat what's the cactus. You guys got to eat what's like the bugs. And the guys who what's like to eat the mangoes.
And this guy likes to eat the snow. And,
That'd be a cool book to read, though, about like how the Aldmer each became those such specific elves. Like, you put an elf... into darkness for so long, how do you become a dark elf?
Yeah.
You know, like,
well, the dark elves live on the Vardenfell, which is the island in Morrowind, and it's a volcano, so that'll fuck you up.
It's just soot. They're
they just need a bath.
Yeah, like, funny you say that. I guess you've never played Morrowind. Like, the Ashlands is, like, a huge chunk of that map.
Yeah.
That map is misery.
Well, and like the Skyrim DLC, which I think you played, where you go to Dragon's Reach, which is part of Morrowind.
You go to Solstheim.
Solstheim, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That is like in a half a foot of, covered in like half a foot of ash as well.
Well, the Red Mountain explodes for very different reasons and does obliterate the entire island.
Exactly.
I only played that in VR. So I'm not sure.
It was way too real for me to possibly remember.
No, it's lower res.
You
don't always know what's
there's going like. On. There's like one quest line where there's a guy who finds like an ancient ruin and it's just full of ash, and you have to keep funding him. You have to, like, every time you go see him, he asks for like another 10,000 gold.
Yeah,
and you have to keep giving him 10,000 gold, and then every time you come back in like a few weeks, it's like a little bit more excavated.
Okay,
but like all the miners who go down go crazy and start killing each other and stuff, and then it finally gets excavated, and you have to figure out what's going on.
Cool.
You get something not worth the 50,000 gold that you just invested in it.
That's like the similar to the Raven Rock quest that you have in Morrowind as well. In the
man, it's been a long time since I played Morrowind.
Morrowind or the Blood Moon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I played Morrowind.
Everybody should.
I have the Morrowind expansion for ESO, but I've never gotten that far into the game.
Where was I? Okay, so the Eta'ata were called the original spirits. They're the things perceived and revered by the mortals as gods or spirits.
Those are the spirits that you listen to in the 80s and 90s.
What's that?
The spirits you listen to in the 80s and 90s.
The original, yeah.
The OGs,
exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were there. Bring it back.
Yeah.
To humans, these Et'Ada are the gods and demons. To the Aldmer, the Aedra, all Mary translation, is our ancestors, and Daedra. So Aedra, Daedra, gods, demons, whatever you want to call them, the demonic princes of Oblivion, or the Daedra, it's kind of all the same thing.
What's the, I don't know if you're going to get into this, are you going to get into the difference between, like, a Daedric prince and a regular Daedra?
I think that I'm not gonna. I didn't do the research on that enough.
It's all good. Yeah, we'll cover that another time.
I'm like pretty sure. So like, there's the Daedric princes who each have their own plane of Oblivion.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll get into that in just a few paragraphs here.
Okay. Excellent.
So these Et'Ada inhabited the 12 worlds created by Nir, but they were not all perfect. The worlds. One Et'Ada named Lorkhan, who we mentioned earlier.
Yep.
Created by Sithis. Approached the others with a plan to create their own plane using something only he knew of called the Kim. Now, this was another like fun little rabbit hole, but this one was like really cool, which is the Kim. Why it's a rabbit hole is because it gets into like a really, really, really heavy description of how the universe exists. And remember how we said we threw Padme outside of time earlier?
Yes.
And like what it is to exist outside the universe and like what this universe is. It ties back to something called the dream, which is like a metaphorical way of saying like the entire Skyrim universe is a dream in the sense that if you can realize that, you can step outside of it.
Oh my goodness.
So there exists a word in the Daedric script.
Sorry, I just got a feeling in my forehead of thinking way too hard. Yeah. And I was just like, no, get away.
Yeah, that's it. It gets a little lost in the weeds.
That's how Alex Jones figures it all out.
Yeah, exactly.
He realized he stepped outside of
the lizards, they're dreaming, man. Yeah. They're dreaming about water that turns frogs gay.
In the Elder Scrolls, he could actually be totally telling the truth, because I know the Hist, which are the crazy god trees that the lizards actually worship are like older than time. Like the oldest being on Nirn is a Hist, as far as I know.
It is.
Being some sort of like some sort of fucking ancient spooky tree.
The Hist are Elnafey, which I mentioned earlier, which are like a race of tree folk, basically.
Yeah.
The oldest living beings on Nirn are the Hist.
Yeah.
And like the Bosmer are the wood elves. Their god is one of the Hist, who is considered to maybe, who's named Ygritte, who's considered maybe to be one of those 12 worlds of creation just himself.
Holy shit.
But he exists on Nirn, and it really does get lost in the weeds.
Yeah,
a lot,
and there's some crazy shit about how the Argonians like are born from eggs and then like drink Hist sap, and then that determines what kind of Argonian they grow up into. Yeah, it's fucking...
The Argonians tell like this
Argonians
whole
are
story.
Lizard people.
Yes, they're the lizard men.
Yeah, they're reptiles. The Argonians tell this whole story, but completely differently. Where Anu is a like the Quetzalcoatl is a snake devouring its own tail.
That's Ouroboros.
Ouroboros.
Yeah,
sorry,
Quetzalcoatl is the Aztec feathered wind god snake. Yeah.
So it is Ouroboros devouring his own tail, and Padme is actually the snake's hunger. So Padme is the force that drives the snake that was just eating until it eventually eats its own heart and the universe resets itself, basically. And there's a god. This is like the weeds that I got lost in today. And I was like, I'm not going to talk about any of this shit.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's crazy. Yeah.
But there's like one god named...
Elder Scrolls is fucking insane.
Yeah, there's one god named Ruptka who found a way to step outside of that cycle when the universe resets and like... you've played all the Elder Scrolls games or a lot of the Elder Scrolls games. Who the fuck is Ruptka?
Yeah.
He's not mentioned in any of the fucking games. Just an obscure text found
within the games.
I've played
four of the five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it gets so fucking crazy, man. Like,
I'm surprised. This is going to be the last thing I interject with before we get back into lore. I know Elder Scrolls 6
this
was
is
just
all
announced.
Lore, so.
Elder Scrolls 6 was just announced. I cannot fucking believe we have never gone to Black Marsh, which is where the Argonians are from, which is where we have our ancient god trees. And, you know, like, the last really good, crazy environment we saw was Morrowind.
Yeah,
and then Oblivion is Romans, and then we had Vikings, and now the next one people are theorizing is in High Rock, which is not France. It's fantasy France.
High Rock, or I think Hammerfell, actually.
Hammerfell we already went to in Redguard.
Hammerfell's
bigger,
though.
Already a fantasy place?
And Redguard was a long time ago.
Yeah, it's where they make long bread.
Long bread.
Likely story.
They smoke their cigarettes through straws.
Through
what is that?
Yeah, it's on the ends of, on the tips of wands.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody somebody popped all their hats. Yeah. Like,
there is something wrong with your hat. Let me deflate it for you. Let me use my cigarette wand to pop it.
That's how you know you're buying a fresh new hat. It's inflated when you buy it. You bring it home.
Yeah, you pop it yourself. Yeah,
you pop it yourself.
Yeah, real nice, exactly.
But yeah, I'm just disappointed in the fact that they haven't decided to go back. They've been just like, man, look at all these crazy fancy graphics. Let's make more better rendered humans.
Yeah,
yeah. Fuck you and your.
It's just
we don't know yet. We don't know yet.
No, we're not gonna play TES6. Let's just say it.
Yeah.
2021.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They said, yeah, well, they usually announce everything same year, and they're like, we don't normally do this, but we're gonna announce something that's in development, and then it was Starfield. And
go back to or look forward to our E3 episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Either is released or will be released.
Yeah, will to herefore be released.
Yeah, exactly. Which you have enjoyed or will enjoy.
Yeah. So there exists a word in the Daedric script known as Kim, or the secret syllable of royalty.
Is this Chim?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Chimer, right? Yeah.
It's pronounced Kim.
Kim. Okay. Yeah. So would the precursors to the Dwemer be the Kimmer?
Yeah.
Okay.
I pronounced them Kimmer earlier because I looked up the pronunciation for Chim, all caps, and one of the devs came out in a forum post and said it's pronounced Kim.
All right, well, perfect.
Yeah, but like, if you'd said my name without the second syllable, you'd say Jam, but Jamie is what it comes together. So I think Kimmer or Chimer, you can probably say both.
Yeah. That's it.
A second syllable alters the first syllable.
I said Kimmer because I looked up the pronunciation key for Kim, but I don't know how Kimmer or Chimer or whatever.
It's all good. I squinted at him like a confused Neanderthal. Yeah. That's why he felt like he wanted to elaborate.
Yeah. So the Daedric script is a script developed, I suppose, by the descendants of Sithis.
Yep.
It is what the dragon speech, the dragon script, almost is. They're very closely related. So in Skyrim, which is, I think, the most popular Elder Scrolls game.
It's also the newest.
Yeah. When you get a new dragon shout because you're the Dovahkiin, you go up to a wall covered in this script and like three of the symbols stand out to you.
Yeah.
This is like Kim is basically three of these symbols in the Daedric script, which is like in Oblivion, when you find like an Oblivion gate, or the symbol for Oblivion is like a word in Daedric.
Okay.
So Kim is
but the dragon text is written, they specifically designed those letters, air quotes, to look like somebody wrote them with a three-clawed foot.
Yeah.
Because dragons in the Elder Scrolls do not have arms.
Yeah, or opposable thumbs. Yeah.
Or thumbs. They just have three toes.
Yeah.
That's why their text looks like that.
Yeah.
So it's always, that's why it's always like dot and then two hooks, because you would like put your toe down and then write a thing into it. Yeah.
They're bowling masters.
How many?
Alduin the King.
Are they actually like wyverns? Do they only have wings and feet? Two sets of feet?
Elder Scrolls dragons are wyverns.
Four limbs, yeah.
Four limbs.
Yeah. Whereas a dragon...
I think they have little hands on...
They have bat hooks. They have like bat fingers.
They have like a single finger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's not so much a finger thing. It's a limb thing. Like a dragon is six limbs, and then a wyvern is four.
I just clocked into how nerdy we are. I love it. It's actually a wyvern, not a dragon.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, actually, pushes glasses up so far through his head.
So the secret syllable of royalty is a state in which one can break free of all known laws and corruptions of Oblivion. It allows the user to pass to a state before the mingling of Anu and Padme so that they might manipulate the Arbis to however they please.
Is the Arbis the energy of creation?
The Arbis is the universe.
Cool.
So it lets you step outside the universe where time doesn't exist, and you can literally re-enter the universe before Anu and Padme and set things up to end up however you want. So Lorkin figured this out.
He's the craftsman, correct?
He's the trickster.
What?
Yeah, Lorkin is the trickster.
Son of...
Called that Mundus? Because he tricked all the other At'ada into creating Mundus with him, or Nern.
Right, okay.
Where does he fall in the family tree again? Sorry, I lost.
He's a son of Sithis.
Son of Sithis, okay.
Yeah. So, he's one of the sons of Sithis.
He's really important in Morrowind.
Yeah, he's known as the trickster. Different races think of him differently. The elves, modern day elves and ancient elves, the Aldmer, hated him, which I'll get into why. Modern day humans accept that they wouldn't exist. The Dunmer, the dark elves, see him as a challenge, which is an interesting philosophy on how the Dunmer operates. So the modern day elves, most modern day elves, high elves, wood elves,
dark elves.
Yeah, high elves and wood elves, not dark elves, believe that they are descended from the Aedra, which they absolutely are. Okay. They're descended directly from Ariel. Okay.
The Dunmer worship the Deidre, though, and it's illegal in the Empire now.
So the Aldmer think that Lorkhan tricked them into losing something very valuable, which I'll get into in a second.
Sure.
The Dunmer live their existence thinking that they didn't descend from the Aedra, but they are destined to ascend and become Aedra.
Okay.
So the Dunmer...
That's a hell of a lot more serious.
Yeah, the Dunmer see Lorkhan's betrayal as just another obstacle, like, lobbed at them. They see him as a challenge to overcome more than
to
anything.
To ascend.
Exactly.
Wait, can I actually interject with a Morrowind thing here?
Please.
The Tribunal, being the three gods of Morrowind, Vivek, Sothisil, and Almalexia,
yeah,
are actually ascended elves.
Yeah.
That are, oh, and also Dagoth Urt, but he was excommunicated.
Yeah, exactly.
There's four of them. Four elves did actually ascend and become immortal thanks to the heart of Lorkhan.
Exactly.
Which is like a relic at the center of a volcano.
It is.
And you have to destroy it to be able to kill the last boss, but that also renders the other ones mortal, which the Vivek thinks is fine because he's like elf Buddha.
Yeah.
But Almalexia goes fucking crazy, kills Sothisil, and then you kill her because you stole her immortality. Yeah. Yeah.
Morrowind,
man.
Yeah, what I was originally going to talk about, 2920, the last year, the first era, was actually like the set, how they all got to the like Almalexia's journey to the Tribunal and like basically Morrowind before the Tribunal existed and before they ascended.
Yeah,
really interesting. And, well, and I will do that. I'll do that on another episode.
Funnily enough, I'll throw in this one last thing here. Sorry. It's still more just lore for the lore.
Yeah,
it's basically.
This is all good stuff. Yeah.
It's all very Elder Scrolls related. It's all just Elder Scrolls tangents.
Exactly, yeah.
The reason Solstheim is the way it is in the Skyrim expansion in Dragonborn is because after you take away the godhood of Vivek, he does end up disappearing or dying or whatever. Because, whatever, being mortal all of a sudden...
It'll kill you.
It'll do you. It'll kill you, exactly. The worst.
Being able to die, it'll kill you.
Yeah. It's the worst. Oi, you got the fucking the Nerevarine comes in here, all of a sudden you're not mortal. My back. They have a floating prison over the city of Vivek, where Vivek is, which was actually a meteor that had come down to hit the island of Morrowind that Vivek, using his immense power, just held it in the air.
Oh yeah.
But
when he lost his,
after he became mortal and vanished, it just wobbles twice and then immediately it just gets all of its speed
all
back.
All of its speed back, yeah. Somebody
crashes.
Hits play after having it paused
exactly.
for 20 years.
exactly that. And that hits the island of, that hits the Vardenfell. That makes the Red Mountain, which is the volcano at the center of Morrowind, explode. Yeah. And that's why the side of Solstheim in Dragonborn is covered in ash and all those trees are blown down. Is because that meteor...
exploded the mountain.
Yeah, like somebody just like basically put a big stick under it. And then some guy at some point just knocked the stick over.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the whole thing just came crashing down the
volcano.
Walking
with like a big platter of coffee and tea, like trips over the stick. Like, oh no!
It's like Vivek. He's like, oh fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
My blouse.
Yeah.
Like, bam.
There's like a huge meteor behind him.
That could be some artwork right there, Jamie.
That's
right
fantastic.
There. Yeah. But anyway, that's why Solstheim is the way it is, because Solstheim in Morrowind is still part of Skyrim. And therefore completely frozen, full of Viking shit. Cool. But it's a destroyed volcanic wasteland because the Red Mountain exploded when Vivek became mortal and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
I actually haven't done much exploring in Solstheim, so I missed that. I'm going to have to put the goggles back on and get into Solstheim there.
It's good. Yeah. It was a really good expansion.
Really good.
Yeah.
Also, the best...
The Molag Bal.
The best part about that expansion, it's... It's not Molag Bal.
I always say Molag Bal.
No, Molag Bal's in that apartment basement in...
Swinwind. Yeah, exactly.
In what...
Falkreath or something.
Falkreath, yeah. It, you go into, I think it's Markarth?
Oh, it's Markarth. Yeah. That's it, yeah. No, it's Hermaeus Mora.
Hermaeus Mora.
That's it. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, finally. Okay, so let's talk about...
It's the goo boy.
Yeah.
The lobster
claws. Just eyes and floating tentacles. Yeah. And
he's like, I could assume a human form like a bitch. Yeah. I'd rather be an inky pool of blinking eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Just good on you,
fuck
man.
Your beauty standards, yeah, am good I right, on you, boys? Yeah.
Fuck you, Hollywood.
We're on the cover of Cosmo.
That'd be good art, too.
Inkiest sex.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That might be good art, actually. I might just do that.
Yeah.
10 eyes to spice up your sex life.
Top 10 eyes. Yeah. That make drive your man crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Pillars of books rising out of the sea.
Yeah. I was reading in front of Cosmo, and like I was at the grocery store, and I could not believe some of the
it's
things
bad.
That were written
it's a bad
on.
Publication.
It's like 10 things that are make your sex life so fiery, and 10 things that'll make you cringe. It's like, okay, like this is a clickbait article.
It's the same list.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, just like one's like for men, one's for women.
Yeah.
They're both they're like, oh, see, I told you.
Yeah.
Only it's the exact same article, but they just changed the title.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They just changed the title to change the whole like how
context.
It's conveyed. Yeah. So let's talk about why Lorkhan was either hated or seen as a challenge by the elves, and why he was seen as basically a savior for mankind. Lorkhan managed to convince many other after he had got access to the Kim, went back to before Anu and Padme, saw how he could create this ninth realm.
Oh shit! Really?
Yeah. He wasn't actually able to manipulate the events the way he wanted, but he saw how to accomplish it. Basically, he's like Loki from Norse mythology of the Elder Scrolls, and he's like
of Marvel fame.
So you're saying
that he's just a little bit from Norse mythology?
Low-key from Norse mythology.
Gotcha.
So he manages to convince many other Et-Ada, including Ariel, who was the soul of Anu-El, who was the soul of Anu, who was also Akatosh, right?
Yeah.
So Ariel and many Et-Ada had already created races of mortals, like I said, before the creation of Nirn. Ariel had already created the first elves, and his agreement to help Lorkhan create Nirn is considered by them to be his one moment of weakness.
Oh.
The act would forever sunder the elves' connection to Ariel's own world, known as the World of Eternity. So they basically had like...
Is this why elves in the Elder Scrolls, which might be the only universe with elves in them where they're not immortal, is this because they're cut off?
Basically, yeah.
Wow. Oh, just because the god wanted to have cheesecake once.
Yeah,
cut off.
Yeah. Lorkhan goes... There's just like Lorkhan there like, well, I want to create this world, and it's got this cake, you see.
Yeah.
You take cream cheese, and you bake it into a cake. It's out of this world.
You're insane, trickster god! Yeah,
yeah. But I'll do it. Yeah. But I'll do it, damn it.
Listen, you got to put it in the oven, and then the fridge.
Yeah.
And they're like... No.
Yeah.
No. And then they slandered his name for all eternity.
That is true. That's weird, man.
So
who thought of that second step?
Put it in the fridge.
Yeah. Trickster God Lorkhan.
Yeah.
We're talking about cheesecake right now.
They had cheesecake before Nirn, but they didn't have refrigerators.
Yeah. Exactly.
And he's like, I've got this world that's gonna have these things to cool your cheesecake in.
Yeah. What came first?
I understand holding melted cheese is very difficult, even with the crumbled granola crust.
Yeah.
But follow my train of thought here, boys. What if we cooled the cheese after baking it?
And you're mad, Lorkhan.
And they were just like, Judas!
Yeah, exactly.
What came first? Modern chemistry or Jell-O?
What do you mean by modern? Define modern chemistry.
Okay. Did they figure modern out chemistry Jell-O before they figured out how to make Jell-O through chemistry? Like that?
What? Of course they did. That doesn't even make sense. You think Jell-O was created by accident in a lab? Like
no,
edible
like
Jell-O?
Lover was not a documentary.
If you knew to boil, okay, because I'm thinking, no, you know what?
Gelatin's made of horse hooves.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gelatin, which is from like pig joints and
who
stuff.
Who would have known to get gelatin? Okay, yeah, I guess because they're just trying to keep their stuff cold so they could eat it later, so Jell-O was made.
Gelatin was invented before Jell-O was. Because gelatin
Turkish
is
Delight.
A key component to Jell-O.
Turkish Delight is mostly gelatin, and that was invented by the Turks.
Pig's hooves aren't even blue, though.
There was a professor in his
lab.
Okay,
well, that was when they invented blue raspberry flavor. Oh. The dog stuck on my mic.
Yeah, oh, no, dog. That's
actually going to sound horrible.
Ice, why'd you do that? It's okay. No, don't feel bad. You're just
so, So there was a mad scientist. There was a scientist, not a mad scientist, sorry. There was a mad scientist who was mixing chemicals in his apartment one night, and he accidentally smashed this vial of chemical X, and it fell in the cauldron, and three Jell-Os came out. One was orange, one was blue, one was green, one was pink.
Blue raspberry, normal raspberry, and fucking green apple.
I got smacked by the dog, and I thought you were talking about Elder Scrolls. I'm like, where are we going?
Well, the Dwemer had science.
Yeah.
Sort of, what with their robots.
So Loki...
Loki or Lorcan,
yeah,
knew something that he did not tell the other Et-Ada, that in order to create Nirn, they would have to give up, like, one of them's, like, hammering a board in, and then, like, they let go of the hammer, but their hand stays stuck to the hammer, and it just, like, melds into the wall. And God damn it!
It's like the Three Stooges, but they start to melt.
Yeah, exactly. So some Et-Ada invested...
You can't make a race without sacrificing the bit of yourself, Chowderhead.
Yeah.
Pokes him in the eyes.
So some
the 12 Stooges.
Some Et-Ada invested more power into the project than the others. These were the entities that would come to be known as the Eight Divines.
Okay, well that's eight out of what, 12, did we say?
No, there's much more than 12.
Oh!
There's much more than 12.
12 worlds.
There was 12 worlds which these Et-Ada existed in.
Oh.
And like part of the rabbit hole that I could not find anything on is... Those 12 worlds are called the New Men, N-U-M-E-N, and I have no idea what that means.
New Men.
So if you follow TES lore and you're listening to this, I guess we should have said at the top, this is an introduction to TES lore because I know you guys
Elder
take
Scrolls
it
primer.
Fucking seriously.
Yeah.
I've been to the subreddit. I know how serious you take this, and I know how badly I'm doing.
We're doing just fine.
Yeah.
You know what? We did... three episodes. We did a Battletech primer. We did a Warframe primer.
Yeah.
We did a priming episode for the normies out there. Is just
it.
Fine. And if you can survive four episodes of Elder Scrolls, you can survive it.
The hardest core of our listeners so far that listen to this is Sneaky Feet or Andrew.
We don't know.
He plays all of them. He's very deep into it. I'll be interested to see what he thinks.
It runs really, really, really deep, is what I was trying to say. The Eight Divines come from the eight Et-Ada who invested the most into the creation of Nirn.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, let's just say the Spark Notes version of the Elder Scrolls lore will always be the first episode, and we can get balls deep in some other shit.
Exactly. Those who could not or refused to participate were the Et-Ada, who would later come to be known by the Aldmer as the Daedra.
All Daedra or the princes specifically?
All Daedra.
Okay. Including the crocodile.
All Daedra are... Et-Ada, I mean, I don't know. Maybe Daedra reproduce. I don't know.
I
never
know.
Seen them fuck.
I've played
a lot of the games. I ain't never seen a Daedra fuck before.
No, me neither.
They do it, man.
Pull it up.
They do it. All Daedra and all Nitra.
If you,
Jamie, could you add Daedra fucking in post, please?
I don't know.
Yeah, just do it. Whatever.
Where do I
just
find
make,
one?
Just make it happen.
Then there were others, who would escape Lorcan's plan. Led by one named Magnus, fleeing to Aetherius, which is the immortal plane, the opposite of Oblivion, basically heaven.
Did he create magic somehow?
He is considered his presence on Nirn when he was there, and the remnants of that is what's considered to be magic in Nirn in all the games. So when he fled Nirn, Magnus punched a hole through Oblivion.
This is the sun, right?
That would become the sun.
Yeah.
While the holes punched by his followers, called the Magna Gae, would create the stars. It's theorized that the origins of magic on Nirn are actually the remains of Magnus. Several artifacts can be found in game that are named after him.
The Staff of Magnus is
Magnus
in Morrowind.
Game.
The Staff of Magnus and the Eye of Magnus. The Staff of Magnus is also in Skyrim.
Oh, right. And the Eye of Magnus is that big orb
that makes
people go fucking crazy, right?
They're both in the College of Winterhold questline, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know the Eye of Magnus. Yeah. But a lot of the stuff, like I say, I know it, I've only played Skyrim, a lot of it leaks into ESO as well. They steal from all the things in ESO.
Yeah.
ESO's original campaign was like a non-canon prequel, and then everybody hated it, so they fixed the whole thing with the expansions, where they were just like, 1,000 years ago, Molag Bal tried to invade the realm. It was like, we have... five games, filled with books that don't mention this.
Yeah.
Your retcon is not accepted.
Yeah, I do not accept your retcon.
Yeah, no, exactly.
If you want to play an MMO and you like Skyrim and you like Elder Scrolls games, totally fine game to play. I've had good fun.
You played? Yeah, you were playing that when we started this podcast.
Yes, good fun with that game.
Yeah. No. So the Staff of Magnus actually is, I think, one of the most powerful magical artifact on Nirn, but any magic user who uses it, the staff will drive them crazy, so they do not become too powerful, because its explicit purpose is to prevent the overuse of magic on Nirn. So it's specifically designed that if a wizard has it for too long, he'll go crazy and he'll reject the staff, basically. He'll throw it away. Yeah.
And circuit breaker for magic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Just fucking flips a switch, and one day he looks at his staff. He's like, "I hate this thing." Yeah. Throws it away.
I was thinking more of you're wearing like a tank top and like a bathing suit because you're doing your laundry. You're just like, the lights blow out. You're like, "Fuck!" Go into the closet, have the Staff of Magnus, just like flip it off, flip it on. Yeah. You can blow dry your hair again.
Yeah, exactly. With a spell.
Another one of the relics that I'd love to get into one day is Umbra, that sword that's in four of the games. It's the one that's like consumes souls. It also drives people crazy.
Yeah.
And changes shape between games as well. Like Umbra itself is an entity.
Tune into the next Lore Boys Elder Scrolls episode.
We might bring up Umbra.
Around the same time as Magnus left the realm with his followers, the Magnagay, Akatosh realized he was deceived, and with the help of another Et Ada, Trinimac led the Almer against Lorkhan and established on Nirn the first kingdoms of the Aldmer, Aldmeris, and Old Elnafe.
I've been duped!
So the Old Elnafe would become the Hist.
Okay, cool.
Yes. So, when I said ancient Aldmer were ancient elves, right?
Yes.
These ancient elves established two kingdoms, one called Aldmeris, and one called Old Elnafe. And it was one people.
They established a town called Old Elnafe?
Old Elnafe and Almeris. It's called Old Elnafe now because when they arrived on Nirn, they were scattered. One group was scattered and one group managed to land kind of cohesively.
Okay.
And they called that kingdom Old Elnafe, where they landed cohesively, whereas other ones were called Wandering Elnafe.
Okay.
This is relevant because elves are literally descended from tree people. The same as the Hist. They're all descended from the same people. It's basically, were you in Almeris or were you in Old...
in some way infer a relation between the Argonians and the merfolk?
So the mer...
Yeah.
Lizard people
are
and
all
fish.
Descended from the people of Almeris along with the elves, including humans at some point down the line.
Well, mer, Jamie, is the generic term in the Elder Scrolls for all the elven races, including the orcs, who are the Orsimer.
Dunmer, Aldmer.
They're mer folk. Dunmer, Aldmer, Bosmer.
When you said mer folk, we've definitely referred to mer maids and stuff as mer
I tried to pause long enough. Hashtag only Elder Scrolls fans will know I'm talking about elves.
In Magic the Gathering, there's a creature subtype called merfolk, and you build whole merfolk decks.
Exactly.
And those are what?
They're like murlocs from World of Warcraft, like fish people.
What's your best murloc noise? The dog twitched.
Fuck you, Ice. Don't judge me.
So, Akatosh decides he's going to take his buddy Trinimac, and they're going to go against Lorkhan.
I recognize that name as well.
Fuck this guy. I didn't get into him. I didn't get into him too much. He gathers up.
I didn't get into him too much. Here's the end of that sentence.
I read his wiki page, but I don't feel confident enough to actually talk about it. He was an ancient Aedhroth, or Et Ada, Aldmeri deity, and the alleged precursor to the Daedric prince Malakath.
Okay,
so he has some connection to the orcs in that case.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Malakath represents himself as an orc.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like what the orcs worship.
Yeah.
Okay.
Specifically.
So he gathers his buddy Trinimac, who's the orc, and says, let's go fuck this guy Lorkhan up. Their armies do push Lorkhan back. They capture him. He gathers up the other Et Ada and throws a party called, ominously, the Convention. The purpose of this meeting was to decide Lorkhan's punishment for tricking them into creating the mortal realm. Because, like I said, they lost a hand, it fused into the wall and stuff like that. Everybody was pissed.
Creating this physical realm wasn't actually such a bad idea, because I can, set my drink down at this party we're having.
So, as punishment, Trinimac tore out his heart, intending to destroy it. However, the Aedra were present on Nirn, and Nirn itself was the remnants of Lorcan's body. So
wait, Nirn is the remnants of Lorcan?
It's like really metaphorical, but basically, like,
maybe
all the Et'ada had to give up pieces of themselves to create this realm, and he wanted the most to create this realm, so he gave the most to creating it. So the majority of the place
I thought that,
is directly from him.
I thought that I'm the brother that is order.
Anu
fucks Nur. And yeah. Then she gave birth before dying to being beaten by Padme to the realm. But
no,
the realm didn't
no.
make it?
He gave Nur birth to
and
12,
Nirn are different things.
12,
I know that, but gave, Nur gave birth to something
12,
that would have...
12 worlds of creation.
12 worlds
which
of creation.
Spawned the Et'ada.
Okay.
And the Et'ada, Lorcan, decided he wanted to make his own world. So this whole process and where all the games take place
within one of these 12 worlds, there's a sub-world called Nirn.
No, outside those 12 worlds.
Outside those 12 worlds.
Yeah.
Okay. So sorry, I was led astray from the beginning.
Yeah. So they're creating a planet, basically.
Got you.
And they all have to give pieces of themselves to create this planet.
Okay.
And the one guy, he swung the hammer, and it stuck in the wall, and he lost his hand. And meanwhile, Lorcan was like, he took his stomach and gave his whole stomach, and then he gave his head and half his face and all this stuff. So
gallbladder.
The planet itself is mostly made up of Lorcan.
Gotcha.
Yeah. That would explain why the heart of Lorcan is the final boss, technically, in Morrowind.
Yeah.
Because the dwarves had tried to build a giant robot around it, a stone.
Out of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't work, but it did give immortality to four people.
This is So Trinimac tears out his heart and is going to destroy it, and the other Et'ada are like, wait, we're all still here. Like, don't blow this up. Like, we're staying here, you know? Like, we don't know how to get back to the 12 worlds of creation, basically. So his heart was literally the heart of the world. Could not be destroyed. Instead, Ariel flung the heart down to Nirn, intending to bury it forever. As he flung it, a droplet of blood fell as it flew over what would eventually become Cyrodiil. The blood was fused with a red crystal and retrieved by the Daedra-worshipping Aeliads, who would cut it into the shape of a diamond and name it the Kim El Adabal. Can you guess the other name for that?
Heart of Lorcan.
No. This is a drop of blood that flew off the Heart of Lorcan. The Amulet of Kings.
Oh!
Which is from Oblivion.
Yes!
It's like the MacGuffin. You're like chasing the Amulet of Kings, which only the true Emperor of Cyrodiil can wear.
Yes.
Which gives him powers, the powers of a Daedric Lord, basically.
And the Emperors of Skyrim now, at least the Emperors of Cyrodiil now, at least retroactively, are Dragonborn, because at the end of Oblivion, Sean Bean's character, Brother Martin, basically shatters the amulet.
Yeah.
Which breaks the seal that kept Oblivion at bay, and then transforms into an aspect of Akatosh, which is a giant dragon made of fire, so that he can kill Dagothor.
Dagothor, yeah.
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 I actually followed that. That's intense, man. So that's really intense, though. Yeah.
That's a fun little bit of lore. Lorcan's heart itself landed in the sea, where eventually Red Mountain in Morrowind would rise up around it.
Okay, so the heart of Lorcan in Morrowind is legit. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like the heart of Lorcan.
It would eventually be found by the Dwemer.
The Dwemer, yeah.
And in the battle of...
So dwarf in the Elder Scrolls is technically like a slur because they live underground. The Dwemer themselves are normal-sized people who, funnily enough, we talk about, have like Sumerian beards. Like that's the race, human race they're based off of.
Hmm.
Is because all the human races and a lot of the elves' culture is based off of real shit. Because obviously the Nords are Vikings, Imperials are Romans, the Bretons are French, the Red Guards are I guess African, sort of, but more North African.
Yeah, but even if the Dwemer are full size, for anyone who doesn't play the games that much, they're dwarves. They live underground. They create things out of metal.
Yeah, that's it. They're all about
they're
like craftsmen, big forges.
Yeah,
and...
but that's good to know they're full size. I always saw them as little people.
Yeah, well, you can find like Dwemer ghosts in Morrowind.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, his heart was thrown into the sea. Red Mountain would eventually rise up around it.
Yeah.
Which involves the dwarves.
I can't remember what that fucking giant robot thing.
I looked it up earlier because I thought about getting into all this, but I knew that we would be at about this time, by the time I got here, so I didn't actually get into it. But, I mean, I would love to do a follow-up to this episode someday. So, what was left of Lorcan's body was torn into two and placed in the sky, where they would become the two moons of Nirn. Masser, and Secunda. That ties it back to the beginning of the episode when I asked you what the moons were called.
Because I knew that, because I'm a fucking loser.
So there,
there's also two buffs you can get in Morrowind and Oblivion called Master's Grace and Secunda's Will. Like, each one has its own power over people that worship them correctly.
Yeah.
Each of the moons.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know. How do I express interest but not know how to respond?
While you're texting, you son of a bitch.
I was looking at my phone.
Hey, he's got a girlfriend now, okay?
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Shipped again!
So that's pretty much the creation myth of the Elder Scrolls games.
Cool.
Oh, really? I forgot that we were going to get into so much like nebulous shit, because now I'm like in.
Yeah, no, that's
I'm
it.
Thirsty.
This is like the start of like the civilizations. Like we didn't even touch on that. I would love to do a follow up episode on this. There's so many cool things. Like the Elnafae, like I said, they landed. They were like the early elves, basically the Aldmer. They landed here, and like some of them landed in one group that they called Old Elnafae. And everyone who didn't land in their group, they basically didn't trust. They saw them as like. Because, like, the planet wasn't fully cultured yet. It was hard to live there, so people were, like, struggling to get by. So they showed up as, like, vagabonds, whereas they had built this community. And they basically said, like, no, get out of here. And, like, a war ensued, and that war literally changed the surface of the planet.
Cool.
Just, like, with the magic that they were wielding and everything, because Magnus was present on the planet at the time. Like, the gods were building it, and their children were literally running around, like, hurling fucking... like taking huge chunks of mountain out of the ground and like hurling them at each other and stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah. The Dwemer eventually in the Battle of Red Mountain fight for the Heart of Lorcan with the Khymer, like we said earlier, Khymer.
They use we'll have to mention it at some point in some other others, like Khaganrak and Khaganrak's tools, which are the only things that can destroy the Heart of Lorcan.
Yeah.
They have to be used together and can only be used a certain amount of times or else it fails.
I almost got into the creation of Khaganrak's tools and like all that stuff and like finding the tablet, but that's for another episode, I think this is a good place to end it. Set up the world and everything that happens with the people of the world happens
just
after
like Battletech. We could have an entire podcast just about
definitely.
I'm sure someone already does.
Well, so, we'll get a better one then, Jamie. Jesus Christ.
So, like you mentioned earlier, Elder Scrolls 6 is coming out. There's a really strong case for Hammerfell just because I think High Rock is too small. It's like a third of the size of Skyrim or something like that. So unless they change the map, I could see High Rock and Hammerfell.
I'm not a big nerd boner kind of guy, but I'd be really upset if they changed the map.
What if they did like
just to make it bigger? Because that's a stupid fucking excuse. That's an Assassin's Creed excuse.
And that's why I don't think it's going to be High Rock.
Yeah. You think it's Hammerfell?
I mean, there's a good case for Hammerfell
that's a red
good
guard,
case for Hammerfell,
right?
Based on the information we have so far,
it was like
nothing.
A 10
it was
second
yeah,
clip.
It was a
like,
20 second clip.
It's not even what it is. This is just a title screen.
But why would they show Rocky Mountains
on the ocean?
On the ocean when it's black marsh and it's literally like fetid jungle swamp. Like
to make nerds like us angry so that whenever they actually release the one we wanted, we're happy.
Well, I have to buy it so I can prove them wrong.
Yeah. I'm gonna buy it and play 200 hours and then make a 5-minute angry review.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like the one where you see like 10,000 hours played, like it was okay, I guess.
So officially Dota 2 has the best reviews on Steam because most of them are like that. 10,000 hours is like, yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
It's crazy how much people play that game.
Okay, so that was our first Elder Scrolls episode. Thanks so much for listening. Peter, if we're looking for you on the internet, where can we find you?
At Pete O'Donohue on Twitter. If you can spell it, you can follow me. More importantly, you can find all of my artwork on loreboys.wordpress.com. Is it the Loreboys?
I was reading. Loreboys.
Loreboys.wordpress.com, the Loreboys Facebook page, and Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. Give us a follow, check out the art, check out some pretty pictures of our pretty faces, that whole thing. Sponsor us if you have money.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And James, where can we find you?
My name's James Miller. If you Google that, I'm sure you'll find only me.
It's true.
And I'm at Ethan the Dead Man. Make sure to follow Loreboys, like Peter says, on every platform you feel like. Leave us a review if you have the time.
Make new platforms. We'll make profiles. Follow us on that.
Yeah. Leave a review if you have the time. It means a lot. Make sure to tell your friends, because that means a lot, too. If you enjoy the show, then, hey, maybe they will, too.
Yeah. Important information about Jamie he neglected to mention for some reason. Twitch.tv/theloreboys if you want to hang out with James all the time. Get the program, Jamie!
Yeah, well, if you're listening to it like recent times, God of War is like my current kick, so probably going to stream the most of that, and it's a 25-hour experience. I'm going to make it 40. It's a good time. Yeah.
I'm bad at puzzles. I'm not doing side quests.
And for anyone who wants to support the show financially, we do have a program called Lore Boys Premium, which you pay a small monthly fee of about $67 a month.
Yep.
And you get access to all the premium content. Premium content this month is if you knock up your girlfriend, we will not come over and angrily beat her up.
Yeah.
Because
otherwise we would.
Yeah. Everybody who doesn't subscribe to Lore Boys Premium but listens to the show, your girlfriends will get beaten up.
Yeah.
And or boyfriends, I suppose.
Just saying, though, you might create a world by proxy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you want? You want to risk that?
Yeah. So who knows?
$67 a month seems like a weird amount, but after a couple of years, don't worry, it adds up to something real funny.
Yeah. And that constitutes a Lore Boys.
Lore Boys.
Out.
Out.
Elder Scrolls.
I almost said Fallout, because I was like, you missed the last two.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.